Best in Class podcast is back with another position breakdown leading you up to the NFL draft, just 3.5 weeks away. Today, it is defensive tackles. JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan lays it out for you. It's fast. It moves. It's a lot of fun, a lot of good information. And he's always got an eye on the Bucks. Check out the previous position breakdowns. You can find them at the Best in Class podcast on Apple Podcasts, at JoeBucksFan.com, linebackers, edge rushers, and more. Sean is running through the positions as we get toward the draft. Kick back, get a cold drink, enjoy. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. My name is Sean Sullivan. We are breaking down defensive tackles. We are almost finished with defense. We have safeties next, and then we'll be on to offense just in time for the draft. I've timed this perfect. And of course, we'll have our Ira Kaufman mock draft podcast and Bucks Talk as we get closer to the draft. First, please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook, Instagram, you know, all the social media sites. You guys know them. Visit us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa to see all of our amazing specials finishing up March and going into April. We have some amazing stuff going on, up to $20,000 off remaining 2024 vehicles. And then pickup and delivery and mobility has never been so easy. Just pick up the phone, find us on the web. You can schedule your appointment. Never even have to leave the kitchen. You can go into your office. You can research your draft the whole time. Your car can be being serviced, recalled, quick service in your driveway. So that's at BillCurryFord.com. Please visit us there. Again, we are a third-generation family business, been operating in Tampa for 60 years, almost 65 years now. I just can't believe that how fast time is going by. We're already through the first quarter of 2025. We are months away from the start of our NFL season. So that's very exciting stuff. I hope you guys are excited as I am. So let's break it down. Let's get into it. We're going to start with Mason Graham. He's going to be my number one defensive tackle. Now, again, I've already broke down the edges separately and the linebackers separately. So these are going to be just interior defensive tackles that we're going to talk about. Some of them have some pass rush. Some of them are going to be run defenders. We're going to discuss their athletic profile, which is their RAS score. We're going to talk about their average draft position, which comes from Draft Mockable, which you guys can look up, which is an amazing website. As well, we're going to talk about the freak list with Bruce Feldman, who comes out with it every year. It's very accurate. And then we're going to use some next-gen sports, and we're going to go through some draft buzz. And we're going to use some other stuff from PFF, which I don't use their grading system, but I do use their statistics. So it's a breakdown of how I get some of my information, and here we go. So Mason Graham, number one defensive tackle out of Michigan, 3.5 sacks, had 46 tackles, 24 solo tackles. Is considered just a beast. I mean, he's 6'4", 296, so his size isn't, you know, it's not like top echelon size, which we'll talk about, but it's good size. He's got short arms for his position, but he plays with like a really nasty demeanor, and he's a strong leader, and he really sets the tone on the defensive line. He plays with a nonstop motor. He's easy to move. He gets into blocks before they can get into their action. Compact power with instant punch, violent hands, lateral quickness to eliminate reach blocks, and he penetrates the gaps. He obviously is a former wrestler. These guys, these former wrestlers, man, they really understand leverage. And as a defensive lineman and as an offensive lineman, leverage is the key. You know, the lowest pad wins, that goes back to your high school days. If you guys have played high school football, lowest pad wins. Well, it's no different in the NFL. You just play it at a different level. So Mason Graham understands the game. He has a very high IQ, understands leverage, being a former wrestler, has a lot of punch and violence to him. Again, I'm not a big fan of his short arms because I know that there's two realms of thought here. One is long arms, one is short arms, where they obviously, there's a lot of pundits who believe, and Mel Kiper's one, that long arms lead to success in the NFL, and short arms, even if the player is good, you know, they have to be super special to make it in the NFL. And I understand, but technique is more important to me than the arms. And that's where I fall. Too many players have come out with 33-inch arms and have been excellent football players. Again, technique to me can beat the athletic talent if you're really, really good at what you do. Mason Graham's one of those guys that just, if you put on the tape, he just makes a difference on every play. He doesn't have the sack numbers, obviously 3.5 sacks, but what he does is he's just extremely disruptive. Right now, his draft position is pretty easy. He's going number 5 to the Jags in just about every single mock draft. So the Jags need a Pro Bowl starting defensive lineman, defensive tackle. They need it bad. They need to stop the run. And Mason Graham does that immediately for the Jags. Again, his average draft position is top five. As far as his RAS score, he didn't do any measurements at the combine or at his pro day, which always makes me think like these guys. So again, his hand size is under 10. You know, I do like size 10 hands or bigger for the NFL. And I've seen that. And his arm length is 32 inches. So he's 9.13 and 32. His weight's 296. Again, I like him to be over 300 when I get these interior guys. He did bench 24 times, but he pretty much did nothing else. No other athletic testing whatsoever. So obviously his agent said, there's no reason for you to do any more. Everything is on tape. So there's really nothing to go over other than that he's right now on tape, the best guy at his position, and I have to give him credit for that. The other thing about me as someone who loves the draft and who does obviously the best in class podcast, I am super big on energy, not taking plays off and giving it everything you got on every play. And I think that really translates into NFL. My next guy, Walter Nolan. You guys might see him. He's been moving up the draft boards. Again, he was a top five recruit. He's finishing his career at Ole Miss, 6'4", 296. Ran a 4.95 40, had 6.5 sacks, 40 tackles, 26 solo tackles. This guy has been mocked to the Bucs, as a matter of fact, by more recently I've seen it because of Jason Light and Todd Bowles talking about beefing up the interior behind Vea and Kancey. Logan Hall, who's not playing on the inside. So they could use another star, especially with Vita Vea being, what, 30 now? He's over that 30 step. Walter Nolan has an explosive first snap. He beats offensive linemen quickly. He dictates a gap really easily. He's a natural leverage winner who understands, again, the lowest pad guy wins. He's got incredible core strength, which really allows him to push blockers around. He's a guy like that you get into a fight in a phone booth with Walter Nolan. He's a very dangerous guy on the field. And you can see that when you watch him. I think he plays the game with a physicality where he's like, I'm going to beat the other guy into submission. And you can see that. He displays impressive lateral agility and change of direction for a 300-pound guy. He's a nightmare on stunts and twists where he can utilize his quickness to get up the field, to get to the quarterback, create pressure, redirect the running back. And if you try to block Walter Nolan with a tight end or a back, you're wasting your time. His average draft position right now is in the 20s, low teens. So he's first-round guy. Again, this guy's going to have shorter arms, which is, to me, 32-inch arms, short. Hand size under 10, he's at 9.5 on hand size. Again, he didn't do any other combine or pro day stuff. Again, he's a first-round draft pick. I think that's where he's going. I really like his game. Obviously, his agent said, don't do anything else. Let's leave it all on tape. Very similar to our number one guy, Mason Graham. Moving on to our number third guy, that's going to be Kenneth Grant, another Michigan guy, 6'4", 331 pounds. This guy is a run-stopping beast on the bigger side. He ran a 5'1", 140, had 3 sacks, 32 tackles, 10 solo tackles. He did make Bruce Feldman's freak list at number 46. At 6'4", 330 pounds, he ran a sub-5'4", Jim Harbaugh told The Athletic this month. The UM strength coach who has trained more than his share of freaks said Grant has incredible traits and is likely to be a top-10 freak guy down the line once he hits the NFL gym. Impressive quick first step, putting immediate pressure on offensive linemen and quarterbacks. Natural leverage advantage with compact frame and powerful base. Excels in resetting the line of scrimmage in one-on-one situations. And he's developing a pass rush. You know, he's got somewhat of a swim move, and he does that spin when he's feeling it. So you can see that on tape. He had 3 sacks. So, again, that's still developing him. His average draft position is in the low 20s. So, again, first-round talent, Kenneth Grant. I really like his size and his speed. So for me, for my defensive line, I'm going with a guy that's super athletic, that's over 330 pounds, can hold up. No, you're not going to run on Kenneth Grant. So it's really interesting that you have 3 first-round defensive tackles right now. Kenneth Grant's RAS score, which is really great, 7.17 for a defensive lineman, is not terrible. 10-inch hands, 33-inch arms. I mean, he's right up my alley. That's what I want in my defensive tackles. His weight at 331 puts him in the 9.52 percentile, which is great. His vertical at 31 was 8.13, puts him in the top percentage of all defensive tackles. His 10-yard split at 1.72 was an 8.25, which puts him in the elite category in the 10-yard split. His shuttle is where he struggled at 4.33, so he only had a 4.76 shuttle. His three-cone was average. So his in total score was 7.17 out of 10, you know, which is not a bad score for a man his size. Obviously, he's a guy that's going to start on an NFL football team for a lot of years. That's Kenneth Grant out of Michigan. Our next guy is Derek Harmon. I know this guy, again, is rising up draft boards. He's been linked to the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been linked to the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a guy out of Oregon, 6'4", 313 pounds, ran a sub 5'40". That's right, over 300 pounds, ran a sub 5'40", had 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 45 tackles, 27 solo tackles. He has thunderous hands that enabled him to consistently win the leverage battle. He's natural power who brings elite upper body strength and core stability, making him a nightmare for centers. He developed a devastating rip move that combined with his length gives him a 3-down potential, showed repeatedly against a specific game if you want to watch the UCLA game. His average draft position, again, is in the 20s, so this is a guy that will be there with the Bucs. So far... out of these guys that we've talked about, if the Bucs are going defensive tackle, which I know we haven't talked a lot about and I haven't heard a lot about other than from Bucs brass themselves, is they might go interior defensive line with this level of first-round picks between Mason Graham, Walter Nolan, Kenneth Grant, and now we're talking about Derek Harmon. There's a possibility, I just don't want the Bucs fans to rule it out, that we go interior line. And we're probably going to go with one that has more pass rushing ability than just a run stopper. So Derek Harmon's did not do a lot of stuff at the combine. Again, another guy who just is basically saying my height and my weight are in the top echelon at my position. And he did do a 40-yard dash under 5, which puts him in the elite category for a defensive tackle. But he did no other athletic testing for us to review at this point, and at his pro day, not yet either. So again, that's Derek Harmon, my number 4 guy out of Oregon. The next guy we're going to talk about is a guy that Bucs actually interviewed, and that's Toledo defensive lineman Darius Alexander. So Darius Alexander, terrific height at 6'4", over 300 pounds. He ran a sub 5'4 at 6'4", 300, which is great. 3.5 sacks, 40 tackles, 17 solo tackles. He's out of Toledo. Coiled spring explosion off the snap, fires out like he's been shot out of a cannon, never takes plays off. Has a tremendous energy bunny-like play on the field. The guy just keeps going and keeps going. He's a 3-down player. He drives single blocks 5 yards deep when he punches at the right time. Very violent guy, which, again, I love on this podcast. Rare blend of mass and mobility allows him to hunt down screens and stretch plays, changes direct length, somebody 40 yards pounder. So basically, the way he changes direction is more like a linebacker, an outside linebacker, than it is a defensive interior lineman. Let me just go over this guy's RAS score. Now, I wonder if this is what the Bucs are looking at, because he's a 9.17 out of 10, which puts him in an elite category out of defensive tackles. Hand size is 10. What did I say? Love 10. Arm length 34. It's fine, right? Height is in the top echelon. Vertical at 31.5 puts him at the 8.51 percentile, which puts him at explosive grade. His broad jump at 9 feet at 8.85% of all defensive tackles is pretty incredible. 40-yard dash we discussed, under 5. His 10-yard split at 1.71 puts him in the top echelon of defensive tackles, which is really great. His shuttle, again, was below average, and his three-cone was below average. So depending on how you're judging the initial quickness and his redirection and, you know, off the line, those cone drills are specifically made to see reaction and his change of direction time. So that wasn't really great. But off the ball, he's explosive, going north and south. His average draft position right now is second round. So this is a guy that if the Bucs go a different way at pick 19, at pick 53, Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle out of Toledo, might be somebody that they're going to be very interested in taking. Although he is rising up the boards, I don't think that he makes it into the first round. But he's a very, very good player. Our next guy is Taliq Williams out of Ohio State. 6'3", 340 pounds. Get this, guys, listen to this. At 340 pounds, he ran a 4.68 40. That's correct. That's wide receivers in the NFL Some of them run 4.6s. Tight ends, he ran faster than tight ends at 340 pounds. He had 2.5 sacks, 46 tackles, 16 solo tackles. He made Bruce Feldman's freak list. Williams is really one to keep an eye on. His burst gets him on the list this year. His 10-yard split of 1.62 is amazing time for a 300-pound gentleman. Brings the kind of raw power that shows up in the weight room and on tape. Consistently walks back centers with devastating bull rush. He shows advanced hand usage in the run game, particularly with violent punch and release moves that leaves blockers stumbling forward, maintains exceptional balance, and he's good at redirecting and chasing down screens and ball carries. I mean, at his speed and size, this gentleman, the fact that he's averaging in the second round doesn't make any sense to me. I think he might sneak into the first round, guys. At that, I mean, there's somebody who just might fall in love and pick him over some of the other guys we just talked about. But for me, I'm more of a guy that just likes to see it on tape. As if I was a professional scout and I did this full-time and I had all of the means that, like, the general manager of the Bucks has with Jason Light, if I had those people working for me, I'd be obviously breaking down the tape. Some of this athletic stuff means a lot to me. Some of it doesn't, because sometimes they don't put it together, even if they're super talented athletically. His RAS score, again, he did not do anything besides the weight bench at the combine. He did nothing else. So again, here's another guy that has skipped all of the athletic testing. But again, according to his team, he ran a 4.6840, which is pretty crazy. Joshua Farmer is our next guy out of Florida State. I saw him. So Steve and I were sitting inside the combine. We're watching the combine drills. And this one guy kept sticking out to me. I'm like, man, this guy's moving really well. I mean, from where our vantage point was, you can really see if an athlete is fluid, and if he's not fluid, forget the testing and the times. It's just about movement. You can just see how a person moves on the field. And Joshua Farmer just moved so much like a different position. I would assume that he moves more like a tight end or a linebacker than he does a defensive tackle. He just so fluid on the field. 6'3", 305 pounds. He ran a 5.11 40. He had 4 sacks, 32 tackles, 12 tackles solo last year. Explosive first step, jumps off tape, particularly when aligned in a 3-tech. His elite quickness time puts him in rare company for a 318-pound defender. Nasty push-pull-swim combination regularly puts interior linemen on skates. He's a very violent player, and he's extremely strong at the core, which is obviously what you want in a defensive tackle. He has natural leverage, which he really understands to get underneath the offensive lineman's pads. And he's very disciplined and has a high IQ. And if you want to watch a game of him, watch the California game. He dominated the game on the line of scrimmage. So this is one of those guys where you're looking at, okay, Sean, a lot of people don't have him in the first round. And that's true. He's not a first-round guy. Right now, I just see him moving up, but I can't help but be that guy that going, are my eyes fooling me? Because he just moved so incredible. His RAS score is 7.89 with 35-inch arms and 10.25 hands. I mean, he's got that prototypical defensive tackle size, but he's pretty average in every other category. His 10-yard split, his 20-yard split, 40-yard dash, all average. His broad jump at 9 feet, though, put him in elite. He had an elite broad jump. But other than that, his average draft position is 88, so basically top of the third round. But I just loved him at the combine. I mean, he just passed the eye test running around in the field. He just looks so much more agile, fluid, understanding the drills. He was extremely well prepared. I don't know. There's just something about this guy that I really like. Our next guy is Shamar Turner out of Texas A&M. 6'3", 290 pounds, ran a 4.8 40, had 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 36 tackles, 20 tackles solo. Exceptional first snap. If you guys have heard this, a lot of these first-round guys and second-round guys, they all get off the ball extremely fast. Here's another one. He completely disrupts the backfield, penetrates well, redirects the line, the running back, runs right through tight ends. Positional versatility to line up anywhere from zero tech to stand-up edge rusher, providing valuable scheme flexibility. This is a guy that I think Todd Bowles is going to look at and go, okay, I can move him outside to outside linebacker. I can have him cover. I can even have him cover a running back out of the backfield, or I can have him rushing the passer, or I can move him inside to play the run. If you've noticed, Todd Bowles has a theme for these guys. I'm not saying that he's going to draft Shamar Turner, but he is one of the most versatile defensive tackles in the draft. He displays fluid lateral movement, impressive change of direction for a player his size, enhancing his effectiveness in pursuit. Possesses ideal length for the position, enabling him to control blockers and maintain leverage. His average draft position is third round. The really interesting thing about him, he is all over the board when it comes to like Emory Hunt, Brian Baldinger, you know, Greg Cosell. Like, there's a lot of people that have him higher after watching tape of his partner at Texas A&M. You get to see Shamar Turner a lot more, and he's just the guy that just keeps showing up on film. I don't know. Because of his versatility, he might move himself up into the second round. TJ Sanders out of South Carolina, 6'4", 300 pounds, ran a sub 5.40, another 300-pound guy that can outrun me. This is just insane. 4 sacks, 51 tackles, 29 solo tackles, violent hand, serious pop at point of attack. He shows the ability to jolt the center off balance from the snap, natural leverage and flexibility through his hips. He can corner, which is something we haven't discussed about some of the other guys above him. He can get around the corner. Advanced pass rush repertoire, has a devastating rip move, and he's crafty inside. So this guy has a little bit more pass rush than some of the other guys we talked about. His RAS score is insane, 9.38. All right, so listen to this. He has 10-inch hands and 33-inch arms. At his height, he's in the top percentile. Weight, he's average. But here we go. Explosiveness. His vertical was 31.50, which puts him in the top 8.52%. Broad jump at 9, over 9. Again, elite. 40-yard dash, elite. 20-yard split at 2.87, elite. 10-yard split at 1.67, elite. And then you go back to this agility stuff, which is the shuttle and the three cone, and he's average. So that's why he's not a first-round draft pick. And that's what they're seeing in him, is he moves like that on the field. North and south, this is the guy you want. East to west, you know, he's going to struggle a little bit. And that's why a lot of pundits have him. Average draft is 69, great number, in the third round, and that's TJ Sanders. Our next guy is Alfred Collins, going with a Texas Longhorn. He's 6'6", so he's one of the tallest defensive tackles in this draft. He's a senior. He ran a sub 5.4 at 332 pounds. That's insane. He only had one sack and one forced fumble with all that athletic talent, 55 tackles, 27 total solo tackles. But again, a lot of that could have to do with the defense that what he was asked to do in the defense at Texas might be something different than what he's going to be asked to do in the NFL. He displays otherworldly strength at the point of attack, regularly just tossing guards out of his way. He's an elite processor who diagnosed pulling guards, down blocks, high IQ, maintains run gap integrity with sturdy base and vice-like grip that makes him nearly impossible to move off his spot. Exceptional length with his arms to keep blockers from getting to his chest. Right now, his average position is 65, which is in the second round. So Alfred Collins is the guy that we need to keep an eye on in that second round, because at his height and his weight and the fact that the way he plays the run, this guy's a run stopper. You're not going to get around him. You're not going to move him. And they can work on his pass rush some. But if they're looking for that Will Golston replacement, you know, kind of guy, like, this is a guy you move into the rotation to keep that defensive line intact. I like Alfred Collins. I'm just not a fan of a guy that's this athletically gifted that doesn't get to the quarterback. He does redirect running backs. He does create gap disruption. I give him that. And I love the fact that he's extremely intelligent in the game, where, you know, where you're not going to fool him with some of your offensive line calls. He's going to know what he's doing. So I did like that. And he played at such a high level of competition at Texas, which is another thing about Alfred Collins. And I like the fact that he's a senior. Bucks interview. Let's jump into some Bucks interviews. The Bucks did formal interviews with South Carolina defensive lineman Tonka Hemingway. 6'3", 284, so a little undersized weight-wise. He ran a 5-second 40, which is terrific. But again, he's one of the on the lighter side. I mean, we're just talking about 330-pound guys running a sub-5. He had 4 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 25 tackles, 17 solo tackles. Exceptional first step off the snap, allowing to penetrate and disrupt plays in the backfield. Versatile defender, capable of lining up at multiple positions along the defensive line front. This is why I think the Bucks take an interview with Tonka, is because of his versatility. The guy can play outside, he can play inside. So in a 3-4 scheme, what they're saying is he can play outside linebacker in a 3-4, or he can line up. And he's not going to be a 3 technique, but he can line up on the line, put his hand in the ground, and get after the passer. Active hands, he developed a pass rush toolbox. He at least has two moves when you watch him on film. High football IQ, terrific recognition skills. Evident was the ability to sniff out screens. He really did smash the screens. But again, This is, I want you guys to listen to his RAS score at 9.46. I just the Bucks have a knack for finding these guys. As you know, one of our starting corners had the greatest athletic score in NFL history from the cornerback spot. So hand size at 9, it's okay. Arm length at 33 is okay too. Height and his weight, so his weight puts him poor at 2.29. He's in the red because, you know, obviously we don't know if his frame can handle more weight. That's something that they have to figure out. But here's where it gets interesting. This is why his score is so high. His vertical at 32, top 8%. Broad jump at 9, top 8%. 40-yard dash was average. 20-yard split, though, at 2.87, elite. 10-yard split at 1.65, almost at the top of his class, elite. Shuttle, here we go, guys. This is what we talked about with some of the other guys. His shuttle at 4.48, elite. Three cone at 7.36, elite. So, again, what we're talking about is a defensive tackle that's moving like a linebacker in these shuttle and three-cone drills. And I think that's the versatility we're talking about. I don't like his weight. Obviously, I would want him to be heavier. And I think, you know, there's not much he can do. I mean, maybe there is something he could do about it, maybe 10 pounds maybe. And his height isn't overly terrific. But again, the guy runs like a linebacker. Clearly at 9.46 RAS, that's extremely impressive. Average draft position in the sixth round. This is a guy that the Bucks are obviously looking at as a developmental player, a guy that they can see if they can take some of this athletic elite talent and turn him into an everyday player or maybe a solid backup. Utah defensive lineman Junior Tafana, right? 6'4", 308, good size, okay? Ran a 5.40, which is excellent. Had a half a sack, 31 tackles, and 9 solo tackles. Plays with balanced base and good leverage and contact. Above average upper body power. Attacks down blocks to prevent the avalanche. Seeks to split double teams and strains to hold his gap. Athletic in the box, ability to range it. This gentleman is all about stopping the run. There is no pass rush with Junior. He stays where he's supposed to be. He stops the run. He's one of the top run defenders in this class at defensive tackle. But that's, again, that's all he gives you. And he's a six-round prospect. His average draft position is low 5, top 6. This is a guy you just put on your team. You put him in rotation to stop the run. I don't know athletically if he can give you any more than that. His overall athletic score at 6.88 is extremely low. Obviously, his height is average. His weight is average. He did bench 24 times, which is average. His vertical average, his broad jump was extremely poor. 40-yard dash is fine. 20-yard split is average. His 10-yard split was terrible. His shuttle was terrible. But his three cone was the most impressive thing. At 7.51, it was elite. He can show some bend and some movement east to west, which is super important. But here's another guy that's just a late-round guy the Bucks might add for run support. Clemson defensive lineman Peyton Page, another Bucks interview. 6'3", 290 pounds. Ran a 5.13 40, had half a sack, 32 tackles, 13 solo tackles. A technician with a high motor. This guy obviously plays with a lot of emotion, plays extremely hard. He's a terrific run defender. He has no pass rush in him whatsoever. He has quick hands, gets up in the gap to reroute the running backs. He has a tough time getting off of blocks. His RAS score at 8.19 is okay. 10-inch hands, 31-inch arms. As you can see, the arm length is a problem. Extremely short arms. But here's something positive about Peyton Page. His vertical at 33 was elite, and his broad jump over 9 was elite. This is a guy that's most likely going to be an undrafted free agent that the Bucks are looking at, which is super interesting. But here's a guy that's a depth guy, a developmental guy, but he showed some elite traits, another run-stopping guy. So the Bucks interviewed several of these guys to get some defensive tackle depth, which makes me think in my mind about the draft. If they're interviewing a lot of fifth and sixth and free agent guys with their formal interviews, does that mean that they are going to shore up defensive tackle just later in the later rounds? Or are they doing this because they're going to go high with a top defensive tackle where they can just now add a free agent or a sixth or seventh round pick to compete in the... I guess there's two ways of thinking about it. I don't want to overthink it, but I'm thinking to myself, if they need a defensive tackle, if that's what Todd Bowles and Jason Light said, and they're only looking at free agents and some lower round guys, there's one with Darius Alexander. There's one guy that's probably a second round pick. That's possible. But I'm thinking a lot of the guys, though, overall they're looking at are more depth. So does that mean they're drafting somebody like a Mykal Williams in the first round? I don't know. There's a lot to think about it. Very exciting stuff. That's why I love the draft so much. I hope you enjoyed the defensive tackle breakdown. Please visit us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and see all of our amazing specials that we have going on right now. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Instagram, Facebook, and X, and now TikTok. So it's really great. We're really working hard on our social media. Please leave me reviews at Apple, Podbeam, and so forth and so on. I love the Joe Bucks fan fans. Please, I love your input as well. Please email me at bestinclass@BillCurryFord with any questions or comments. Next up is safeties. I'll see you guys soon.